So this session we're going to look at steps 6 and 7. And again, two short paragraphs in the book. Very, very short, very, very easy to skip over. And I often look back on them and go, the profound paragraph, I think we go, well, I certainly went over it too quick. In fact, if you look at the 12x12, there's two complete chapters on step 6 and 7. It's got a lot of great stuff in it, but I think I missed the point of the simplicity of step 6. Step 7 is the prayer, but step 6 really is talking about, okay, and we'll read through it. Let's read it and we'll talk about it. So it says, if you can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. So they're saying, well, have you gone and taken the hour? You've looked over those first five proposals. If anything else has come up, hopefully by now you've called your sponsor and said, well, hang on, you know, this shit come up. I want to talk to you about that. So if you can answer to the best of your satisfaction, we're going to look at step 6 now. So it says, we've emphasised willingness has been indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we admit are objectionable? Notice there it doesn't say that I'm going to remove them. It doesn't say that I'm going to remove my defects of character. You know, I ain't got the power to do that. If I could remove those defects of character, I would just start practicing the opposite to those defects of character. Yeah, and they used to hear that a lot. Just practice the opposite to selfishness, Chris. Really? You can do that? I fail utterly. And so, you know, it's clearly saying that God's the only one that can do that for me. And we have our list. You've got your list of defects of character. They're all in that last column, believe it or not. And so I've got to go through them and find out which ones that I believe are objectionable. And funny thing about defects of character, my sponsor says, he says something interesting. He says, step 6 is the Judas of all of the 12 steps, because if any one of them is going to betray you, it's going to be step 6. And it's true. It's because I brush over it and cling on to some of those worst defects of character. And it says, you know, if we cling to something, we're not going to let go of it. And unfortunately, I don't find things objectionable until they start causing me a lot of pain, until I get sick and tired of acting and behaving the same way. And so, you know, I look over the list and I go, well, you know, the tendency is to go, yep, right, I want them all to go. Take the whole lot of them away. I don't want any of them. But really, I've got to look at that honestly, because I start to understand that, you know, those defects that I've discovered in that last column are protection things to me. I've used them as a protection to keep you away, keep you at arm's length my whole life. They're a mode that I use to survive. I believe that they're my survival skills out in the big wide world. So, you know, and I love the benefits that come from them. And that's the thing that I was taught to look at, you know. And they talk about when Bill was in the hospital and Emmy come in, he talks about something interesting. He said I was to get rid of them root and branch. Okay, root and branch. So if you want to know, the branch is the actual defect of character, and the root of it is the benefits that I get from that defect of character. Because who really wants to be totally honest? Yeah? What, you can never tell another lie? You can never steal another dime? You know, there's benefits from being dishonest. There's certain benefits from being selfish, you know. And so I have to look at the benefits that I'm getting from these defects of character if I want to get rid of them root and branch. And I have to be willing to give up the benefits that I'm getting from those defects of character. You know, dishonesty, selfishness. The thing I learnt was, you know, it's easy to say, okay, God, I find selfishness objectionable, take selfishness away. But selfishness is a big area. We've seen, you've got specific examples of selfishness in your imagery. It's littered. Your imagery is littered with specific examples of where you were selfish towards certain people and the stance that you took with certain people. And so they're very specific examples of selfishness. And so if I break them down to that, I can go, okay, God, I want you to take away. I had this thing, if I had a fight with my wife, the position I took was I gave her the silent treatment. I just won't talk to her. That'll fix her. And I believe it works. If I don't talk to her, she'll come to her senses and she will understand that I'm annoyed and come and apologise. I don't know how many years married out there, but I can see her. And I tell the story, you know, I used to work in the same place as my wife. We drove in the same car to work and drove home the same, lived in the same house. And one time we lasted 3 weeks of not talking to one another. That gets pretty wearing after a while. I can tell you by the third week when you're in the car and I'm going, please God, make her see the light. Please God, you know, it's about her changing, not about me changing. And so I started to see that defect of character, that selfishness in wanting to get my own way by giving her the silent treatment has been objectionable. It used to make me feel sick in the guts. It just made me feel sick in the guts, that knot in the guts that's churning. And Clancy used to call it the spring tightening and tightening and tightening. And I saw it as objectionable, and I earnestly said that seventh prayer around that specific example of being selfish. And I said to my sponsor, well, what do I do now? She said, don't worry about it, just get on with the rest of the steps and we'll look at that later on. And I was pleasantly surprised when I pulled that inventory out, you know, 6 months down the track and realised that I wasn't doing that anymore. Now, I wasn't practising not to do it. All I did was it became objectionable, it was causing me pain, asked God for it to be removed, and got on with doing what I was supposed to be doing, and guess what, it was removed. I didn't have to practice the opposite, I didn't have to try not to do it, it was just removed. And I go, shit, this stuff does work. And another experience I had, be careful what you pray for. Because God never removes the defect in the way I think he's going to remove it. I talked to you before, you know, first inventory, Pete, you know, I padded the expense account, you know, I stole $50,000. Now, I can't stop this behaviour. I'm dishonest. I keep hand in the till because I have this financial fear. So when all else fails, I pray to God, this has become an objectionable area, God. I don't want to be dishonest in this area. Help me. I'll do anything. I'm waiting for him to just, I'm going to wake up one day and I'm not going to be taking money anymore. Oh, no, I got caught. That's not the way I wanted to remove that defect of character, but that's what happens. I haven't taken a cent off anyone since that day. So that defect of character was removed because it became objectionable in my life, and I asked, you know, humbly asked him to remove that. Now, he didn't remove it the way I wanted him to remove it, and I thought it was the worst thing that could happen. I got caught stealing this money, lost the job, it just turned my whole world upside down. But today I look at that as being the greatest thing that could have happened to me. And so we go through the inventory and we look at that stuff and we start to see that, you know, am I really willing to let go of the benefits that come with that defect of character? And, you know, I was taught to go through with a highlighter and just highlight. My sponsor was more interested in stuff that I wasn't ready to let go of than the stuff that I was ready to let go. She was more interested in what part of you needs to hang on to that behaviour. And so I was able to look at that a bit deeper.
Some people say that step 6 and 7 are the bang bang steps because there's only 2 paragraphs for it. And the 12 and 12 says that step 6 is the beginning of a lifetime job. I've never done with step 6. I've got to, as Chris said, I've got to continually be willing to give these things up, to become ready to give these things up. They don't get taken away in 6, they get taken away in 7, but they have paydays, be very sure. You know, lying earns me more money. Lying gets me into her pants. Lying, it has paydays. Being dishonest has paydays. And so before I'm going to give up the dishonesty, as Chris mentioned, I need to give up the paydays. And so people think, yeah, but there's only 2 paragraphs. They're just bang, bang steps. It's as really quickly as done. It's done and dusted. And some people say that, well, when Wilson wrote the steps, he, He put 6 and 7 in there to make 12, you know, and we know that's not true. He sat down and he had the six principles that he was working with and meditated for about half an hour or whatever, pen and paper, and sat down and scratched out how it works at the end of the three pertinent ideas, wrote the steps, counted them out, and there was 12. And he said, well, there was 12 apostles, 12 is a very biblical number, that's how many steps there were. Yet in the book there's only two paragraphs given to steps 6 and 7. Bang, bang steps. But are they? If my whole problem is that I've been selfish and self-centred to the core, that the defects of character that I have are the very things that are going to cause me to get full of me and to be blocked off from the sunlight of the Spirit, then somehow I've got to come to terms with those defects of character. Are there two paragraphs? Well, Chris and I were at a conference one time where a guy said, well, that ain't two paragraphs. The whole book has taken 76 pages in order for me to identify the problems that I had, the cause of all of the problems that I've had, what has become apparent in all those inventories that we've done, the three different kinds of inventories, all caused by those core character defects. So it's taken a whole book to get me to a point to, in a paragraph, start to see that, dude, this is what it's about. This is where it is. This is where, if anywhere, I'm turning stuff over and really starting to look for help in, it's here. And there's a prayer, and Chris read it. You know, if I'm not ready to have these defects of character removed, if I'm not ready to be willing to give up the benefits of what these character defects deliver, I've got to ask God to help me be willing. Hopefully, the hammer doesn't come and fall on my head as viciously as it did to him. That it may be more subtly that I just become sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing things using those character defects which causes pain. And you know, in the 12 and 12, around step 10, he says that pain is the touchstone of all spiritual progress. Good inventories are not done when I'm going well. I'm not prepared to give stuff up when everything's going great. You know, it's Clancy used to say, when the hounds of fate have got me by the throat and I'm against the wall, that's when I'm in a malleable state to change. And 6 and 7 is the engine room of change. But step 6, you know, my sponsor says, is that's a daily thing for you, pal. Every day, you need to continue to ask God to help you to be willing to give that stuff up and not grab it back. If I've asked for anything to be removed, it's not out of reach, trust me. On any bad spiritual hair day, I've got that cupboard open, I've got that stuff back out. You know, I've listened to a couple of inventories just now, and those inventories that I listened to were just as relevant to me today as they were to the person that was just sharing it. Because on any given bad spiritual hair day, I have as many fears as I just heard about. Because all of a sudden, you know, I'm back with defects of character that are running rampant in my life. That at one point I was willing to give up, but I just, I snatch them back because maybe, I don't know if the stove's that hot, I'll just check it one more time. Hang on, just once more. How many times? But I'll do it again and again. But I have the ability to reconcile that through this process. So step 6 is all about being willing, and then step 7 is a formalisation of a prayer that he talked about, that he said in the 12 and 12 that the value of ego puncturing. He talked about in the 12 and 12 that it's only through repeated humiliations that I will ever gain anything like any level of humility. I don't know how many times I've got to be humiliated from doing dumb things. I mean, I am the number one guy for opening my mouth and things come out way before I engage my brain. I do dumb things on a regular basis. I got to tell you, you're not looking at any spiritual giant sitting up here. I've said it often that I am happy that the GSO doesn't have cameras in my house watching me, and then replaying that back to younger sober members saying, see this guy, he's got 30 plus years in Alcoholics Anonymous, do you want what he's got? No, that's the opposite, you know. I do dumb things. Six and seven is an ongoing process. And I was talking to somebody a little earlier today, and it came out that they were awkward in a situation or whatever, and I said, you know, the very point that you are aware of problems today is growth, in a positive sense. Because before, I had no clue. I was a tornado roaring my way through life, just destroying everything, and that was normal for me. Mm. I can still do that today, but that's not normal for me. And I've got a way of standing back and saying, oh Jesus, that didn't quite work. And why have I got that way? Because I've taken and tried to implement some spiritual principles in my life that gives me a framework and a sounding board to look at and think, geez, you know, maybe I can do a little better, maybe I can fix that up. That in Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't think that I'm ever going to rise above being a human being, and as a human being I am flawed. You know, it comes out quite often in daily reflections that I'm as much brothers in defects with you guys as I am anything else, and they are alive and rampant. But I've got a conscience today and I've got an ability to try and clean it up. I think the measure of me on any given day is not that I don't have problems, but how quickly if I can work through them. Because before, like Chris said, 3 weeks of not talking, you know, I have a resentment of last month. Not today. I can reconcile that stuff a little quicker. And this is the engine room of change. And it's more than two paragraphs. It's more than two bang-bang situations, two bang-bang steps that he put in there just to fill it in. They're deadly important. Deadly important because it took the whole book up to this point of the recovery aspect of the textbook in order for me to firstly understand and get some sort of an appreciation and identify so that I could analyse, discover and discard that Chris talked about in the fifth step to get ready to get rid of this stuff. Am I willing to give up the stuff that's objectionable? Is it objectionable enough that I'm willing to give it up? And then step seven then is, okay, if I am, that's formalised with a prayer. And as Chris said, I don't have the ability to remove them myself. I need help. I need to turn. I need to turn for help and ask God to help me to do this. So, what did you want to do?
12 by 12 talks about, because there's this thing that I think, okay, I've got to be perfect. The 12 by 12 says an interesting thing. It says we're never rendered white as snow. So as long as we aim high, we don't worry if we fall short of the mark. As long as I'm identifying that stuff and I'm trying to do my best to turn and change the way that I'm acting and behaving. So I'm never going to get rendered as white as snow. Thank God for that, I'll never ever be perfect. The guy Pete was talking about also said something else that I thought was just so relevant to step 6 and 7. He said, you know, we spend a whole lot of time trying to change these things in ourselves and we fail others. He said, you know, if you buy a new car and you drive it out of the showroom and a week into this new car, you start finding defects in it. You know, the door's not screwed on properly, there's bits falling off of here and there. Instead of trying to fix them myself, what do? I go back to the original manufacturer and get them fixed. And isn't that what we're doing here? Instead of trying to get anyone else to fix it or me trying to fix it, I should take it back to the original manufacturer and get it fixed. And I think that's what, to me, step 6 and 7 is all about, is I go back to the original manufacturer and ask you for help with that stuff.
So in the 12 and 12 he said, this is just a little bit on step 6, one little tiny read, he said, only step 1, where we made the 100% admission we were powerless over alcohol, can be practiced with absolute perfection. The remaining 11 steps state perfect ideals. They are goals towards which we look and the measuring sticks by which we estimate our progress. Seen in this light, step six is still difficult, but not at all impossible. The only urgent thing that is that we make a beginning and keep trying. So the 11 steps are measuring sticks by which I gauge my progress. As long as that I'm willing, again, willingness, I think I made it one time, can't remember how, the amount of times willingness is written in the 12 and 12 around step six is phenomenal. We said last night when we went through the appendices those couple of times, or referred to it a couple of times, that it's a who program, not a how program, and willingness precedes everything. And step six, it's never more apparent. Our aim is to probably formalise this by asking in step seven to have these things removed. I'm not going to point out that what it says in the book is different to what it says on the banner. He says defects in one place, he says shortcomings in another, and people then get into mental gymnastics of, well, what's the difference between a defect and a shortcoming? You know, maybe we can spend 3 hours talking about that, and then some people can go into great lengths, and I've seen it in AA, and they'll really go right down to the wire of explaining the difference there. And I've got some bad news in here. He says one thing and then he reverses it there, so I get rather confused about that until I understand that when he learned anything about writing, and it's something I know nothing about, but when he learned anything about writing, he was told not to use the same word in successive sentences because it becomes redundant. You know, in the 12 and 12, he even uses different words to talk about defects. He talks about sins. He calls them index of maladjustments. Shortcomings, defects, wrongs, all the same things. But they're those core things that Chris mentioned that I was able to identify in inventory. 76 pages it took me to get to that point. So are we jump on to step seven, do the prayer?
Together.
My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength and courage to be a God of your Amen.
Good work, guys.